Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives all to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And kids, if you haven't already, if you'd like elementary school, you can meet your teachers in the back if you'd like to participate in that special program. So how well do you know him? How well do you really and truly and personally know God? This is not a trick question. You don't need to brag or feel embarrassed. But how well do you truly know God, who reveals himself in Jesus Christ and in his word, the Bible? Well, our passage today from Ephesians chapter 1 shows us that, as one person has said, knowledge of God, knowing God, knowledge of God leads to wonder and worship. If we know God, we will be drawn into worship and praise. And if we are not drawn into worship and praise, then we do not truly know God as we could. And certainly we don't know him in the way that Paul, the author of this letter, knows him. So this morning, as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to try to come to know God better, to know his amazing work in the world for us in Jesus, and that should lead us more and more into worship. You're going to have to buckle up because I'm going to throw a lot at you this morning. We're going to go through 7 reasons that we are called to praise God that we see here in this passage, which actually is itself written as praise to God. There will be a test at the end. Not really. But I've given you blanks in your bulletin on page 10 that you can fill in as we go in order to sort of keep track of where we are. So I would encourage you to open up your bulletin so that you can follow along, but also so that you can look at the passage in Ephesians as we go through it. No, there will not be a test. But I encourage you to see throughout the rest of this service how many times these things come up in our services. Take note, not just right now during the sermon, but be reminded again and again of what God has done for us as we worship today. And if you really listen throughout today, throughout our services, you will hear these reasons for praise again and again. So, with that, 7 reasons that this passage gives us that we are to praise God. First, we praise God for his election. We praise God for his election. That's the first blank. So if you've got your bulletins or your Bibles, you can look at verse 4. It says this: God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption into his family through Jesus Christ. God chose us. God predestined us. Often in this context, the word election is used. God, in his sovereign goodness, decided entirely out of his own love, not because of anything inherent in us. God, in his mercy and love, chose to create a people for himself. The church, the people of God, people saved by his grace, we exist as a people because he chose to call us to himself. God could have perfectly easily been happy without us, but in his love, he chose to draw the church to himself. He predestined from the beginning of the world to call a people, to call the church to himself. And we are elect by being in Christ, the elect chosen one. When we are united with Jesus, when we receive his blessing of being counted part of God's chosen and called and loved people, we are elect. We are in his family. This is a reason that God should be praised, because in his goodness and love, he created people to know him and to be saved by him. So we praise God for his election. Second, we see in this passage, we praise God for his grace. We praise God for his grace. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, that is, in Jesus. And verse 7, according to the riches of his grace, with which he lavished upon us. Grace is receiving God's blessings to us who do not deserve it in any way. Grace is receiving God's incredible blessings to us, though we have done nothing. There's nothing in us inherently that makes us worthy to deserve it. Grace is God's unbelievable acceptance of us. And he welcomes us with open arms and blesses us without anything deserving on our part. God welcomes us. So the tennis tournament Wimbledon is on right now. By the way, this is showing my commitment to Jesus because I am currently missing the men's final, which is being played right now in my favorite tournament of the year. But Wimbledon in England has a royal box where dignitaries and members of the royal family can come and watch on center court. And I was watching a different match recently on TV, and they showed a couple members of the royal family arriving and walking into the stadium, surrounded by their security team. And anyone who didn't quite know what was going on happened to get a little bit too close, the security guards would immediately stop and put their arms out to keep you from getting too close to the royal family. We're not allowed to get within like 10 feet or more of the English royal family. But with God, God throws open his arms and welcomes us, you and me. God's grace is his unbelievable acceptance of us. So we praise God for his grace in Jesus. Third, we praise God for his redemption, for his redemption. Verse 7 says, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he has lavished upon us. In Jesus we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. In the Bible, the term redemption means setting someone free through the payment of a price. So in the ancient world, a slave could be redeemed by having someone buy their freedom. So when verse 7 says that we have redemption in Jesus, it means that without his work for us, without his redemption, we would remain in slavery to sin, trapped and unable to escape, caught in our sin with no way out. But praise be to God that we are redeemed through Jesus' blood. We are set free from slavery to sin. Jesus' blood, his death on the cross, sets us free. In Jesus, through his death and resurrection, we are forgiven, no longer trapped under the power of sin, but set free to live as we were created to. So we praise God for our redemption, his paying the price for our sins so that we could be free. So we praise God for his election, for his grace, and for his redemption. Fourth, we praise God for his revelation. We praise God for his revelation. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ. Making known to us. We could never know God unless he revealed himself to us. We could never know God's plan, what he's doing in the world, unless he revealed it to us. We could never know and experience salvation unless God revealed himself to us in Jesus and died for our sins. God, in his incredible goodness, chooses to reveal himself to finite people like us. And he reveals that he loves us, that he wants us to know the joy of knowing him, and he wants us to be with him and enjoy him forever. We could never possibly know God unless he revealed himself to us. We could never know God on our own any more than Hamlet, the character in the play, on his own could know Shakespeare, the author. But if you will, God wrote himself into the story. God entered our world from the outside in Jesus. God came to us so that we could know him. And he revealed himself and revealed his purposes to us by coming to us, by coming among us. And if he had not, we would never know him or what his plan for the world is. But praise be to God for his revelation, because he has come to us and he has showed us what he's doing, drawing us to himself in Jesus. So we praise God for his revelation. Fifth, we praise God for his gospel. We praise God for his gospel. Verse 13. In Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. We praise God for the gospel, the good news of what he has done in Jesus. We praise God that he has acted for us in Jesus through Jesus' death and resurrection, so that when we receive his work in faith, when we believe in him, when we believe the gospel, we receive salvation. And this good news is not just wishful thinking. This is, as it says, the word of truth. This is, as one person likes to say, the true truth. God has acted for us in actual, physical, human history by sending his son Jesus to live and die and rise again for our salvation. This is the gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for us. So we who believe in Jesus, we who receive his salvation, we praise God for the gospel. Sixth, we praise God for his guarantee. We praise God for his guarantee. Verse 13 says, "You who believed in Jesus were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance." The fact that you are filled with the Holy Spirit means that you can be sure that you are part of God's family and will inherit the blessings in Christ. In the book of Acts, another book in the Bible, in the book of Acts, there were times when some early Christians really weren't sure about some others that they were really Christian or not. But when they could tell that those other people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they couldn't deny that they really had been accepted by God because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was a guarantee that they had been saved and had been welcomed into God's family. If you come to my, this is a shameless plug, by the way, if you come to my Galatians class on Tuesday evening this week, you'll see that in that letter, Paul, the author of that letter, points to the fact that these readers have received the Holy Spirit as evidence that they are already part of God's people. Because you've received the Holy Spirit, you can know that you are redeemed by God. And you can hold with confidence, knowing that you will one day receive the fullness that God has for all his people. You don't have it yet, not in its entirety, but the fact that in Jesus we are given the Holy Spirit, we know that we will receive his fullness one day. And so we praise God for his guarantee, the Holy Spirit, who assures us that we will receive God's blessing in its fullness one day. So we praise God for his revelation, for his gospel, and for his guarantee, the Holy Spirit. And seventh, we praise God for his future plan. We praise God for his future plan. Verse 10 says, "A plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Jesus, things in heaven and on earth." And verse 14, "The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of the inheritance until we acquire possession of it." God's plan is one day to bring to a culmination all things in Christ. All who are in Jesus will be united with him. The inheritance that he has for his people will be shared with us. In verse 14, there's a bit of play on words, and it could be until we acquire possession of it, or it could mean until God redeems his possession, redeems us. Either way, the point is that one day he will bring all things, all these blessings, to their fullness in Christ. All things will culminate and be drawn together in Jesus. And we who trust in him will be united when all things are finally put right. So while we are not there yet, there is still more to come. There is still so much in this world that still needs to be put right. Yet we praise God for his future plan that he has revealed to us in Jesus. So we praise God for his election, for his grace, his unbelievable acceptance of us, for his redemption, for paying the price for our sin to set us free from our slavery, for his revelation that we can come to know him, for the gospel, the word of truth, for his guarantee, the Holy Spirit, and for his future plan when he puts all things right. So we praise God for his goodness, and we praise God for his love and mercy to us, and as verse 6 says, we praise his glorious grace. But there's another way that we're called to respond to this in this passage. If you look back at verse 3, it says, God the Father blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing, in verse 4, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He did all of this so that we could be with him and we could be like him, holy and blameless. So that we could stand before our God, so that we can live and worship him in holy and blameless lives and give him glory and honor. We are not saved, we are not brought into Christ by what we do, but what we do as his saved, elect, spirit-filled, redeemed people, what we do matters immensely. God is creating a holy and blameless people. And he did all of this so that we could honor him in this way, being holy and blameless people. So when you and I are tempted to sin, it's not just being tempted to do something wrong, though it is, but in fact, we are being tempted to reject and turn away from this whole rescue operation in Jesus that we just talked about, in which he is creating a holy and blameless people for himself. So when you are tempted to sleep in on Sunday, or tempted to watch Wimbledon instead of coming to worship, we are being tempted to actually undermine God's great rescue operation. When you're tempted to criticize someone, you're not just being tempted to be mean, you're being tempted to reject God's plan through Jesus to create a holy and blameless people. When you're tempted to lie, you're being tempted to reject God's plan, who is creating us to be a holy and blameless people. When you're tempted to look at things on the internet, you're being tempted to reject the plan of God, who is creating a holy and blameless people to bring him honor and glory. Friends, this catalog of God's work for us in Christ is supposed to sink down deep in our souls, to be an encouragement in temptation, and to move us to worship. Knowledge of God leads to wonder and worship, and that leads us to live holy and more blameless lives as we are transformed to be more and more like Jesus through the Holy Spirit. So we praise God for his election, for his grace, for his redemption, for his revelation, for his gospel, for his guarantee, and for his future plan. And as we praise our God for his marvelous acts for us in Jesus, we commit to following him as his holy and blameless people for the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen.